everyone. Welcome. Hi. It's us again.
Hi.
We're here.
We're here.
I was trying to think of a way to put our podcast name in. It's the Double Cleanse Podcast.
Yay.
It's been a week already. Can you believe? Wait, has it?
It does actually feel like we were just recording yesterday.
Yeah, it does.
No, wait. What day is it? Oh, no, we did have to re-record our podcast,
yes,
didn't we?
True.
So it pretty much was the other day.
How has your week been?
Me?
Yeah, catch me up.
Fine, you know? I mean, not a lot to report on, really, over here.
Yeah. Have you got anything exciting happening this week?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that sounds fun.
This is so boring.
what a horrible opening.
Do you know what? I always get asked, people always like, you should vlog what you do in a day. I was like, every day would literally be the same thing. I'll get up, walk my dog, then go and sit in my office for however long, hours, and then I'll go down and have dinner and go to bed. There's nothing to vlog.
It'll be really, really, I don't like doing activities, so it'll be it'll be really boring. And I also don't like people watching me eat, and that's pretty much what I do.
So it'll be
really boring.
Do you have anything exciting happening this
week? I do. Well, I was just talking to you about my Disney Lego castle.
Oh my god,
I'm so excited. It's weird being on this kind of lockdown situation that you don't just randomly go to the shop and buy an 8-pack of sausage rolls, that you don't need, and stuff like that. So the amount of money that I haven't been spending, spending on makeup, but
And Lego.
And Lego. But so I bought that and I'm just really, really excited. I can't wait. I've wanted it for so long.
So you got a Disney, the main Disney castle.
Cinderella's castle.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to take hours. I'm going to argue with my fiancé. We're going to fall out. Yeah. Bits will go missing.
Yeah, when you will eat something.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be... Actually, we argue when we build IKEA furniture, so...
Do I just build it on my own?
I would like to, but we don't really argue. I just... When I'm doing something, I really like to get it done. Instantly, right now. Yeah. So, building something and then having, breaks or, fiddling with a playlist or something. I have no time for that. Let's get on now. Let's just build these drawers. Let's build this Mal.
Build the 6-drawer Melm. But you bought lights for it as well and everything.
I bought a lighting kit for it, an LED lighting kit. And you know what I saw, right? On the used tube is if you've never been to Disney World, or you really have, if you've really been, someone projected the projection show that they do in the castle in real life in the parks onto the Lego castle. And I was like, now I need to buy a projector. Now I need to buy a display case.
But you actually do.
It's so much fun for a 31-year-old man.
No, but Lego have that whole adult Lego thing for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know what? Whenever I see these TV programs and they're like, oh, it's 41-year-old Tom from Texas. And they're like, his house looks normal from the outside. Yeah. And then he takes you into the basement. It's got a whole fucking train city.
Exactly.
Lego
every,
New York.
Every, what's it called? Landmark from everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I'm secretly very, very jealous. And I would love a basement with toys in it. That sounds I love a Lego collection.
You'd love a Lego
city in my basement. I would love that. It'd be amazing.
God.
Robert,
yes, hi.
So you know our podcast is about makeups and the skincare.
Yeah.
What you be loving in makeup?
You know what I've really been liking? We spoke about Fenty the other week, and you spoke about skincare and then bring down skincare out, which hasn't happened yet. But recently, I bought the the new cream bronzer, and like in the same range, a cream kind of contoury shade. Well, it's a contour shade on me. It's like this really cold kind of tone. Anyway, I have been using those two and I really, really like them. The texture's really, really nice. They're really smooth. They're not like, you can get these kind of weird silicone-y feeling blush cream, and they're really horrible, but these ones, the Fenty ones, are just really smooth, really nice. They kind of blend with every product really well. They just work, you know. It's really nice to have a product that just works.
Yeah, I feel like the overall Fenty consensus is that it's just a really good brand.
Yeah, no, it is.
And this is why, like, I'm really looking forward to the skincare, because you just know it's gonna be good.
It'll be really interesting to see.
Yes, it'll be interesting.
How about you? How are you been?
Do you know what? I've already showed these to you, but these Sigma skincare brushes.
Yes.
They were recently gifted to me, not by Sigma, but as part of like a package from a brand sent to me. I was like, why have I been sent makeup brushes? I was like, have they got the wrong one? And then I looked on it. And it's hang on, let me grab the packaging.
Yeah, they have like a silicone, some of them have like a silicone top, don't they? They're like, it's almost like a silicone foundation brush.
But, so here we go. Sigma skincare brush set, 6 brushes for beautiful skin. And they have one for like clay and mud masks. It's like a silicone one, which is great, so you can wash it clean. They have a brush to evenly apply liquid and gel serums. They have a one for applying moisturizer, one for gel masks in particular, an eye cream brush, and then one for like scooping and mixing products together.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, that's a bit silly. Like, I'm never going to need that. I have been nonstop using them every evening.
Yeah.
They're absolutely like a luxury, like you don't need
these tools.
It was like that like little stamping tool you were talking about the other day, the tool that pats your makeup in,
the tool that blends your makeup for you. Yeah,
there's absolutely no need, but using a brush to put on this moisturizer is just so nice. And then like
I think it's really nice if it's someone like you who enjoys their skincare routine to have that extra added little part of your routine is a nice little touch. I used that Star Skin Beauty, the thing. I used the stone last night to blend the oil into my skin, and I mean it was great on my cheek area, but when it came to my forehead,
was it just like bang 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 bang?
Oh, it was rocking my brain. It was awful. It was so bad. That's the only attachment that maybe I won't really use again. But it was terrible. But yeah, something like a brush like that is really good. And you can also get 10% off with a code Robert10.
Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Did you actually just do... Is that real?
I do. I am an affiliate with Sigma. That's my discount code.
Quick, no one buy anything.
Oh my god!
I mean, that bit.
That was a joke, but obviously there is that discount code.
What if I had my own affiliate code?
You don't. Oh.
No. No, but you're right. They're an absolute great brand.
Yeah,
yeah, they're a great brand. And it's just like I don't know. I enjoy it, as you said. Like, skincare is a hobby for me, so it's nice to have that little something extra to do.
Exactly.
It just feels nice as well.
And you know what? There is something I've been using. This, it's like a foundation brush, but it's not. It's a face mask one that came with my Glam Glow face masks. And Glam Glow, I mean, I've really gone off the brand Glam Glow.
Oh yeah,
I'm kind of not really for them. But the little brushes that come with it do kind of, I really like using them for the face mask. I think it's like less mess.
What are they, just the little silicone ones?
No, but it's kind of like hair, but not hair. Like artificial hair.
Like plasticky hair.
Yeah. Because I guess it allows then the product to slip off the brush. But I do like using the brush for face masks. I think it's nice.
Yeah,
I would quite like that eye cream brush. That sounds nice.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, look at it. You probably have like a brush that's just like it in your kit anyway.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
that's but like true, having like, oh, actually, look, this has like a little groove in it up there.
Oh, lash.
Yeah, but you know, having like a little separate skincare set to your makeup set would be nice.
Yeah, cute.
But that's it. Yeah,
Well, this week, James,
yes,
we didn't really have to ask anyone a question. We get so many questions in general on our YouTube channels, on our Instagrams, about paws and large yes. paws, you know, not large paws.
Yes.
And just generally trying to make your skincare routine and your makeup kind of work with paws. Yeah. So what we thought we'll do today is help you guys with that, but also go a little bit more in depth and talk about, is there really a cure, or is there really a, you know, what's going on? What is the real situation with paws? What's for tea?
Nadal! You've fucking given an affiliate link and then just said, what's the tea in the same podcast? Why are you trying to ruin us? What's wrong with you?
I hate that phrase so much. There's nothing I hate more than spilling tea. Okay. Okay. Ooh, calm God. Down. Calm down. It's because I'm excited about my Disney castle.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you need to calm down.
No, Disney I need castle. To calm down. Right. So, let's begin with James' questions.
Hi.
Let's talk yes. about paws, what they are, how come they are, and what, okay. and like myths, like common questions. I guess, I think you must get asked a lot, how to all empty my paws, how to shrink my paws, how to, no one wants to enlarge their paws, anyway. You know,
no.
so let's talk about vites, let's talk about okay. paws.
Yeah,
paws. Sorry.
Yeah, paws, yeah. So paws are obviously all the little holes you see on your face, put it very, very simply. They're basically hair follicles. Pores are also where our natural oils and sebum comes out of as well. So they're really, really important. We obviously need them. We need to learn to love them.
Learn to love your pores, huh?
Learn to love your pores, huh? when it comes to pores, obviously skincare can help. There's a lot of like things skincare can do. But one of the main things that determine like pore size and I was going to say how many you have, they're everywhere, they're everywhere, is mainly down to things like genetics. So genetics plays a huge part. If you look at your parents, they've got like large pores on their nose or on their forehead, or around their cheeks, whatever, you're likely to have the same kind of thing. Environmental factors as well can also play a huge part in your skin. But then also you'll find that people like ourselves with oily skin, our pores tend to look a lot larger as well.
Yeah.
But that's not saying people with dry skin can't have enlarged pores too.
Yeah. So one thing as well, James, you always see like people, especially like back in the day, it'll be like skincare routine. It'd be like, grab a hot cloth to open your pores and then cold to shrink them, that kind of thing. And then also people saying that like cold water shrinks pores. There's products out there that's like, we're going to shrink your pores. How true is that? Can you, if it's a genetic thing sometimes, can you physically shrink a pore?
Nay. So I used to do that all the time. So back in our like teenage years, I would, we used to get flannel, didn't we? And we put like a really hot flannel on our face to open our pores. I'm doing air quotes. And then I would literally fill the sink with cold water once I finished my routine, and dip my head in and kind of like leave it in there for ages. But no, you can't open and close pores. They're not something that you can open and shrink. What you can do, though, what a lot of brands actually mean when they're saying, like, shrink pores, is that their product can reduce the appearance of a pore as well.
Right.
And that's done by just keeping your pores healthy, basically. So there are certain things you can do to keep your pores healthy, which in turn makes them look smaller.
Yeah.
Or appear less obvious, I should
say. Yeah. But yeah, that's very true. They are, like, blurring products almost. I do sometimes find out that when your face is colder, it does look smoother.
Well, funny you should ask that, Robert. Because I have a quote here from Ellen Marmer. She's an associate clinical professor of dermatology, genetics and genomic research at, I think it's Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai.
That's probably it.
I said all of that correct. She actually says that there are tiny muscles in the skin attached to the hair follicles, and these muscles can contract when cold. So think more along the lines of goosebumps, plus all the superficial muscles of the face are attached to the skin. So yeah, it's a temporary fix. It's not like you could do like your cold face for the day, and then for the rest of your day, your pores are going to be closed in air quotations again.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing as well. I think like, we don't want to close our pores anyway. We don't want to get rid of them because it would give you this odd mannequin. Can you imagine a face with no pores on it whatsoever?
It would look no really texture. Fake.
You'd look terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Yeah. So yeah, we just want to care for our pores.
And in terms of, am I right in thinking that elastin in the skin has quite a strong part in pores as well?
So yeah, obviously things like collagen, elastin, all things that kind of like promote healthy, more youthful looking skin. Is a factor of this as well. So obviously things like elastin, collagen, all things that kind of like contribute to that youthful looking skin are going to play a part in this. But saying that, I wouldn't then go for like, you know, like anti-aging moisturizer. I think it's going to like do amazing things because it's probably not. I personally, as someone with oily skin, whose pores look huge in summer, I do feel like there are better products and ingredients out there that kind of help with the appearance of pores more than like anti-aging products, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Saying that, with anti-aging products, anything that's plumping, anything that makes your skin look tighter and smoother and adds that plumpness back to your skin, that youth, I guess, is going to help with the overall appearance of smaller looking pores.
Right.
But saying that, I wouldn't rush out and buy like a anti-aging like fucking oil of Olay or whatever. Set. Be like, it's going to change everything. I wouldn't do that.
Let's just discuss something really quickly that's just come to mind. The term non-comedogenic in cosmetics, especially in makeup, which on the packaging is meant to express that it doesn't clog pores. How true do you think that is in terms of,
So I think we talked about it before in here, but that study is actually taken from a study where they tested products on animals. So it was done in a rabbit's ear, and the pores in a rabbit's ear is much larger than the pores on our face. So obviously the product's going to be able to penetrate more and clog more, if that makes sense. So it's a little bit like an outdated study, but it is still a good guideline of it's a heavier product.
Right.
And if your skin can't tolerate heavier products and ingredients. For example, my skin doesn't like shea butter at all. I find that it does give me like a real clogged, heavy feeling. It's a good indication that you shouldn't use it, but it's not massively accurate either.
Yeah, I think as well, I think when it comes to like clogging pores, we need to stop doing air quotes because obviously no one can see them.
if we talk like this, it means we're doing air quotes.
Clogging pores. I think it all comes down to your cleansing. Would you agree that, like, if you're going to wear a full coverage foundation, if you're going to wear full coverage makeup, if you're going to put on loads and loads of makeup, you should also do more to remove it, you know? You can't just wipe it off. You can't just use a face wash. You need to really, really get in there and dissolve that dirt and those products. And it's the same, I guess, with pollution and things like that, and dirt as well. So is there a way, in terms of skincare, to really get into a pore and clean it out? Or is that quite a bit of a myth?
No, there absolutely is. So the first thing you mentioned there was having a good cleanse. Having a good cleansing routine is such an important part of having healthy, clear, congestion-free looking skin. That's why I love a double cleanse. Like, especially if you're wearing makeup, sunscreen. Even if, I always say this as well, like, when, back in the day when I first moved to London and I didn't wear sunscreen religiously, I would double cleanse because the amount of crap and pollution that you would see come off your skin, like the black in the water. I would double cleanse and get that off as well. Having a good cleanse is, of course, going to lead to clearer looking skin, including the size of your pores and the appearance of your pores. As far as actually accessing your pores, getting in, you have chemical exfoliation. So beta hydroxy acid is oil soluble, which means it can actually penetrate the pore. And actually kind of like, to put it very simply, clear it out from the inside. So that's what I personally do BHAs just where I feel oily and congested, so like in my T-zone. Then I'll do an AHA, which is better on the surface of the skin and kind of refine skin tone and texture. I still do that everywhere, but I concentrate mainly on my cheek area, for example.
And do you get those products separately, an AHA and a BHA, or do you like a combined BHA, AHA?
You can get them together. Like, for example, What am I looking at now? I'm looking at the Glow Recipe Watermelon Glow PHA and BHA. PHA mm-hmm. is like a gentler version of AHA. It works slower than AHA, so it's less irritating on the skin.
So if you're quite like sensitive, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So yeah, you can get them combined and they're absolutely fine to use together.
Yeah.
But I personally, I actually love that product, but I do like a good just BHA. I can tolerate, what am I saying? I can tolerate like a certain amount percentage on different areas of my skin, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I wouldn't go like full like BHA on my cheeks because my skin would be sensitive to it. So I do still like to have separate products, but you can absolutely use like a 3-in-1 AHA, BHA, PHA. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talking about cleaning out pores, let's talk about nose strips just briefly as well.
Yeah.
So nose strips, those little things that you put on your nose, charcoal ones are absolute awful crap. I mean they are, but the ones that you put on your nose, you kind of let it dry off and then peel it off, they look, first impression is, oh my god, that looks really effective. I can literally see like a forest of blackheads in this thing. It's very satisfying to look at. Actually quite nice to do occasionally, but how effective are those, apart from the visual immediate look, how effective are those to actually cleaning out your pore, decongesting your pore, cheese congesting.
That's correct. So this is the thing as well that people get like a little bit muddled about is what exactly they are on your nose. The majority of the time, they're not blackheads. Mm-hmm. They're basic sebaceous filaments.
Right. Because it's almost like, it looks like this like, I was about to say rod off... like a rod. It looks like a almost like a cylinder of like it's basically oil, isn't it? Is it hardened oil that's oxidized oil?
It's like sebum is the best way to call it. So it just like allows the oils and sebum to get to the surface of the skin.
Right.
It's like our body's natural lubrication. Sorry, I don't know if I said it like that. however, if these kind of like overfill with oil, if you get overly oily, they become a lot more obvious.
Right.
Right.
So that's why a lot of oilier people might find that their noses look a little bit more blackheady.
Yeah, because the sebaceous filaments can like fill up and they can look a lot more blackheady.
Yeah.
Are these blackheads? No, they're not basically. You can tell there's a real difference. So sebaceous filaments do look like just kind of like more enlarged pores. Whereas blackheads are holes with black in them. A whole blackhead in. So when sebaceous filaments fill up, they can turn into whiteheads and blackheads.
Okay.
So it's when they fill up and they get oxidized and they become like that little black bit. But the ones that if you look at your nose now and you see those little bumps, that's not a blackhead. They are still sebaceous filaments.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what these nose pore strips are doing is they're actually removing sebaceous filaments, which is something we need.
Right.
Also, when we're putting those things on and we're letting them harden up and we're peeling them off, one, it's exfoliating your nose, so it's taking off like dead skin and stuff.
Right.
And I wouldn't say in the best way, in the most careful way. Your nose can be quite red and sensitive after.
Yeah.
And also, they're not removing anything; they're basically ripping it in half. So if you think you've got your pore, you've got that sebaceous filament in, even if you did have a blackhead, what it's doing is kind of gluing itself to the head of that sebaceous filament or blackhead and just ripping it in half.
Right.
So your pore isn't clear. You've still got that half, like the lower half.
It's like chopping down a tree and still having the stump.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's still in the bottom there. So that's not necessarily going to help make your pore look any smaller.
Because there's still stuff in there.
Exactly. Yeah. So whilst they're not the devil, I just don't think they're the best thing to use when you have products like BHAs.
Right. It's like a fun sleepover time, like a sheet mask. It's like, let's ladies night.
Yeah, and then ladies night, let's do it. So blackheads are more like a form of like breakout, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Whereas sebaceous filaments are just, they're meant to be there.
Yeah. Like you said, you can definitely tell when it's a blackhead. Sometimes even blackheads look a tiny bit raised as opposed to a sebaceous gland. And I think you can really tell the difference, but it's so tempting to just pick a sebaceous gland.
It is a blackhead, isn't it?
Yeah. What should somebody do if they want to lessen the appearance of those kind of sebaceous filaments on their nose?
Yes.
on their nose. That sounded wrong. I don't know why that sounded so wrong when I said it.
So if you want to lessen the appearance, the Spacious Filaments is all about oil production, right? Mm. So one thing I find really, really helps is niacinamide. Mm-hmm. Your favourite.
Yes.
Because niacinamide is known to help with sebum production and regulate sebum production as well. So that's something you could use all over. And obviously, the more your oils are balanced, the less your skin's going to overproduce oils and make your skin look shiny and oily. And I do find that when you're really oily, when you've got too much oil going on, your pores do become a little bit obvious. It's almost like they highlight.
Yeah.
The oil highlights all your pores.
It's like we're super open now.
Yeah. So look, yeah. Come on in.
Come on in.
Come on down. The thing as well is, like you said, like keeping a good cleansing routine, exfoliating regularly 2 to 3 times a week, using a BHA if you do have very oily skin, if you do think your pores are huge. Using like a niacinamide serum will really, really help. If you have dry skin, obviously niacinamide can be a little bit drying and you don't want to like go around like trying to regulate your oils.
Right.
So just making sure that you have life back in your skin, so you are well hydrated, you're well moisturized, your skin looks nice and plump, I kind of believe is like the best way to make your pores look a lot less obvious if you are very, very dry.
Yeah.
Awesome. Going on from that, do you mind if I talk about a few ingredients that I really like with pores in general?
About ingredients you like.
So niacinamide, as I mentioned, is one of my absolute favourites. I think everyone can really benefit from niacinamide in some way, but is known to be able to give your skin a tighter look. Like tighter appearance. So it's not going to tighten pores as we discussed, but it can give a tighter look. It can actually boost your skin's natural repairing process. It also helps increase elasticity, which gives that shrunken pore look. Giving them a tighter look. Obviously we discussed salicylic acid, which is BHA, which can actually penetrate the pore as well. If you do struggle with sensitivity, you can get BHAs in like cleansers as well. You can use them daily because they're not as like fast acting, I guess.
Right.
And that, you know, you wash them off. It's not like a leave-on toner, but they are, I would say, if you're going to do anything, a BHA is perfect for someone with oilier skin who finds that their pores are getting clogged up. Clay masks are a really good option as well. It's a very temporary kind of thing though, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So clay obviously just temporarily absorbs any excess oil. If you've got a good mask that, and you don't let it dry out completely on your skin, it's not going to rip all that moisture from your skin, so it can give a very temporary look. So if you're going out for a night out or like a lunch somewhere and you're looking like a big pored, you can do a clay mask and it'll make them look temporarily smaller.
Yeah.
But then obviously, as I said as well, using like a good hyaluronic acid serum is really, really good if you do have drier skin, dehydrated skin, just add that plumpness and life back into your skin. A personal trick I love if you want to add that hydration back into your skin is straight out the shower, applying like a gel moisturizer. It's like very water-based moisturizer. Mm. Apply hyaluronic acid serum over the top of that, keeping all your skin damp. Yeah. And then going back in with an occlusive moisturizer. So a heavy moisturizer that's going to lock in all that hydration. Then I like last year my skin went so like I could feel the texture so bad on my skin, but doing something like that is really going to help plump out your skin and make it look a lot, make it appear more tighter and youthful and bouncier.
Another great thing, I mean I'm no skincare expert, but I saw on Instagram that if you mix lemon and salt together and
I'm
going to
actually fucking kill you.
Scrub your face with a toothbrush with that product.
With toothpaste and rub it on your cheeks. Oh, retinol. I didn't mention retinol.
Oh, retinol.
But
yes.
Retinol is like obviously like proven to do all these amazing things. Mm. Obviously helping with fine lines and wrinkles, but it does basically regulate your skin's turnover. I don't think that's how you say it. You don't say skin's turnover. But that in turn can obviously reduce blackheads and help unclog pores. And help unclog pores as well. But these are all long-term things as well. These aren't instant fixes.
Of course.
And that's the problem with instant fixes, well, other than the clay mask, is that they're not going to do a whole lot in the long run. So these, like using these daily, weekly, you're going to see like over time that you have to do less and less to like control your pores. If that makes sense. All personal experience.
Yeah, nice. It's a process, and that's the thing as well. I think you need to have some patience.
Have patience. So let's kind of like blur the lines between makeup and skincare at the moment. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that I would do. I know if like I had oily skin, I would like not dry my skin down. But if I was going to go out somewhere to an event where I would put on makeup, not personally, but, you know, say I was someone who, there I go, my clay mask, getting rid of all that excess oil. I'm trying not to moisturize too heavy. So I might use like a gel moisturizer to keep my skin hydrated and moisturize without being excessively heavy.
Yeah.
What would you do skincare wise to kind of have your skin prepped well for makeup, if that mm-hmm. makes sense? Is there something that you should do really?
Yeah, I think with prepping your skin before makeup, you have to really think about your skin type and then take it literally. Like, be as literal as you can. Whereas with your skincare routine, your normal morning routine and your normal evening routine, you can kind of be a little bit more like a treatment or a, do you know what I mean? Like, to help something or fix something. Whereas if you're going to be wearing makeup isn't a treatment. It works with a certain type of skin. It's made to only use with a certain kind of skin.
Right.
Like, yes, you can use it if you want to, but if there's a foundation made for oilier skin and you have dry skin, you can bet it's going to dry out your skin.
Right.
Yeah, whereas I'm oily, but I could use an oil in skincare, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So if you're going to prep your skin for makeup, take it so literally. Like, say for example, my makeup skincare routine would be cleanse, tone, and then I'll use a moisturizer that isn't like a gel, like a water-based is that a thing, a water-based moisturizer?
Yeah.
Something else is like fluid or gel on, because I know that's going to be really quickly absorbing to my
skin, because you've got oily skin, and that's
exactly
what's meant
and
to be best
and
for
that's,
you
exactly and that's what is that that's literally what is meant to be best for my skin. So I literally take my skin type and I'm like, yeah, all the products need to be for that skin type, because knowing that my oils are going to come through in a few minutes and then break down my makeup, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask,
that's why that's important.
What if you have oily skin, right? And then you're using these products that are there to like control your oily skin, basically.
Yeah.
So you're using a gel moisturizer, which is known to be lightweight, sink very quickly into the skin. So your skin's not oily at that point, but then you go in with makeup that's for oily skin.
Right, exactly.
But then you're kind of applying it to like drier skin.
Yeah.
Is your makeup not like, well, this isn't oily skin?
No, not at all. No, it's not that smart. It's more like when you think of it, the reason why you have to take it so literal is because you're thinking of the longevity of how your foundation is going to wear or how your makeup's going to wear, if that makes sense.
Right.
With drier skins, some products might become crusty looking on the skin if you don't bear in mind that you have to hydrate your skin. So you really need to take it really super literally. Of course, everyone's skin is different, but I know that if I was to use a hydrating oil or an oil primer before I was to do my makeup, I know that my skin would be like, no, I don't want any more moisture.
Oh, it'll go crazy.
Oily,
yeah.
And it will reject it. And then my foundation will be broken down.
So you
really do need to prep. Here's the only thing, though, that I find, especially when it comes to pores and makeup, that gets a little bit confusing. We all know Porefessional from a Benefit.
I've never heard of it.
It's a really famous primer, and it's like, it's very slippy, and it's almost like silicone.
Oh, is that the one where it's like blue and the woman's holding an umbrella for some reason on the packaging?
I think she's got a suitcase or something.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. But so they make different kinds of it now, but the initial kind of theory is you need this to kind of fill your pores. However, it's very slippery. It's very silky in texture. So where it does provide like this smooth surface and it's almost like an instant blur, that's pretty much just what it is. When you start to put your foundation on and when you start to put on other products, you're kind of moving around this primer because it doesn't become part of your skin. It sits on top of your skin.
Right.
And the way silicones kind of work in makeup or like mattifying primers, it doesn't stop your oil from coming through. It evenly distributes your oil. So imagine like your oil moving across the surface of your skin in a way that isn't just gathering in one area. It is evenly distributed by your primer.
Mm.
So it's not stopping oil. It's reducing the appearance off. So there's still that amount of oil. So with pores, as soon as you like use some of these pore filling primers, it kind of, it really depends on then how you go in with your foundation. If you were to use a brush, if you were to use any kind of wiping or blending motion, you've ruined it. You've ruined your whole life.
Yeah. Take the face off.
Yeah. Because you're moving that primer. That primer sits on top of your skin. So imagine if you're blending, you're then moving that primer around. Right. So a beauty blend, that's where beauty blenders come in really handy. The blender for, you want to pat, you want to push and pat. And same with your primer as well. You want to push that into the pores, as horrible as it sounds. You really want to get in there with your finger. I'm pushing my nose. With your finger and push that product into the pore. You don't just kind of rub it around. So then that way you can kind of guarantee that you're going to get a really smooth surface of the skin. So actually,
it's like when I like, because, it's like there's no real evidence to prove that patting in your skincare, for example, works better than rubbing it in gently, right?
Right.
But I love patting because I feel like I get a real even distribution. Do you mean? Is it kind of the same thing? Like, I feel especially when I'm doing sunscreen, so I mean patting around.
Yeah, I mean like really pushing, like applying pressure into the skin. But it does kind of give you an even more even distribution, because I guess you're applying the same amount of pressure each time if you're quickly patting across the face. Not that that would help much in makeup, because it would just look like, what are you doing? Yeah, you kind of need to blend a little bit more. Yeah. But that's why something like, here's the thing as well with a beauty blender, for example. You kind of want to think of texture, and pores when it comes to makeup is a texture, if that makes sense. So it's an interfering texture. You don't put on makeup and be like, I want it to sit in my pores. I want it to
highlight.
Look horrible. Yeah. So it when it comes to things like a beauty blender, although it's called a beauty blender, it doesn't actually blend. It kind of just presses your foundation on, which is good in this case, because you want that smooth, even texture. Mm. And it's almost like, Imagine like a pore. You know how they maximize pores on the back of like a pore filling product? Do you know what I mean?
They're like this. It looks like a bucket.
Yeah, and it's got like loads of gravel in it. It's like, we're going to empty this. If you imagine, pushing, it looks like gravel. It looks like dirt.
Yeah.
If you imagine pushing a product into that rather than wiping across.
Mm.
So if you were to wipe across it, you'll get this uneven, like, it's going in there, it's going in that way. Whereas if you push, you're getting the same amount of pressure. You're not irritating. That's what it is. You're irritating the texture. And it's the same with dry skin. You don't want it to irritate the texture. And that's how you get more of an even look.
With both oily and dry skin, if you do feel like you have more enlarged pores, still that pushing pressure is the best way to do it.
Yeah, still that pushing pressure is the best way to do it. Right. Here's the thing also as well, is the great thing about makeup is you can use different products from all parts of the face in different areas, if that makes sense. So somebody has really, really open pores, or they have like, for example, maybe they had like a really bad blackhead.
Really? You're sounding very elegant.
Really bad blackhead. That's kind of left like a hole in the face, because you do you get some of those.
Oh, I've got one on my cheek where I had I picked a spot basically, and now it's just like one giant pore.
Yeah, I have one on my forehead up here. The best kind of a really nice way to kind of almost like fill in that pore. I know it sounds really bad when we say fill it in, because it's like, I don't want to fill my pores because of blackheads, you know? But like, as long as you clean it off, like we said, it's absolutely fine if you go for
that's the thing
cleanse.
And as far as how skin works, you're not actually going to be pushing it directly into do you know what I mean?
Like, can't
right
get
down
deep
into the pore. So pushing it in, you're not going to be like
exactly
filling your black filling hair with gravel
going right into
you're just
the down
pulling
skin.
Into like the different
kind of want to think about like products and what they do. For example, I feel like an eye primer is a fix for everything. An eyelid primer, not a concealer, like a nice tacky, really sticky eyelid primer. I like to use like Paint Pots from MAC or the e.l.f. putty eyelid primers. And you can kind of push that into a pore, and it's almost like, I think of it like
filler, like wall filler.
Yeah, exactly. And you can smooth it out on that area. That really helps foundation sit for longer anyway, because eye primers are a barrier to stop oily eyelids from ruining your eye makeup.
Right.
And also it helps the eye makeup last longer, and the color payoff is even better. But you can use eye primers around the whole face. I love using eye primers on the nose, because it's so textured on the nose, especially around the nostrils. You can fill in that whole area with a bit of eye primer, tiny little bit of a finger, and really push it in. And it really, really does help. But the main thing with pores and texture on the skin when it comes to doing makeup is not irritating that texture. You're really trying to smooth it out, basically.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, I tried to think of a way to describe it. But you know, like, for example, like velvet. You stroke it one way and it goes one colour. You stroke it the same way and it goes all one colour. Mm. Exactly. So if you were to do it all one way or with the same pressure, it's that kind of thing on the skin.
Can I ask?
Yes.
So, obviously, we have pores everywhere on our face, right? Mm. And we keep, like, joking about highlighting your pores. But if you're going to use a highlighter, like, the product, a highlighter, and you're putting it over your face, whatever, is that going to highlight the texture on your skin? Or because you've done so much work before, is it, like, just sitting on top of that rather than your skin? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So if you can do loads and loads of work on your skin and have it looking really smooth, the moment you put powder on, any kind of powder, whether it be a clear powder or a highlighter, you are messing with the texture again.
Right.
So that's why it's really kind of key to prep your skin, because then you might not need powder, you know? Whereas if you do need powder, you're only use it in the areas that you need it. And then same pushing, patting motion. So it could be with a sponge, like really push, just dab a light amount on top. We're not talking baking, you know how much I hate baking.
Yeah.
Like just putting like a tiny bit on top. Highlighter in itself has varying textures. So you can get like highlighters that are glittery, for example, or you can get cheaper ones, and it does tend to be, unfortunately, the more affordable highlighters that have this weird kind of texture. It looks bumpy. It looks
powdery. Like
grainy. It looks really powdery. But you can also get liquid and gel highlighters, and that's where I would go if I was
jelly,
really textured.
Right?
Get jelly ones, exactly, as long as it doesn't have too much glitter in it. But something like Becca do a Champagne Pop liquid highlighter, which is really nice. It doesn't have glitter in it. It's just like shine. You're looking for metallic rather than glitter. But here's another thing as well. There is, for example, when I do highlighter on my own face, I do like the tip of my nose and then I do the bridge of my nose just to bring that out a little bit. But recently I've had like a slight spot on the bridge of my nose. I put highlighter on that on camera the other day thinking it's fine. My lights will blur it out. Oh my God, it looked like I had Rice Krispies on the bridge of my nose. It was awful. It was so bad because it literally reflects light and makes like this, you know, brightens the area. So to be honest with you, if you have really textured skin or a blemish just that day, then it's probably not the best idea to put highlighter on that area.
Right.
So there's a few that I really like. So there's the W Airfit Pore Primer from W Lab, which is
saw this all over Facebook and Instagram, and people were tagging me in it because the before and afters literally looked like it made your skin perfect.
So here's the deal. So it's almost like professional where it blurs instantly, but the difference with this one, so it does give it like a perfect look, if that makes sense, because it does blur. So there's like things called in makeup, remember, like makeup and skincare is a science, so there's things in there that can help. There's optical diffusers, which means it bounces off light, giving the impression of blurred skin. It does really help, but with this one, it's not as silky as professional. It doesn't have a slip. It goes on the skin and it mattifies and it's matte and it's dry. So that's my favorite one for pores if you're oilier. Mm-hmm. Hydro Grip Primer, if you're dry and have textured or pores, is really good because it applies like this gel kind of moisture.
Is that
and
milk?
And has a stickiness to it. So it's a really good one for drier skins. Okay.
I'm trying to think of something.
Here's the thing, I don't really like to recommend more, like, cheaper primers, because I feel like primers, if you're using a primer, it's because it has a purpose for your skin type. Not all primers are good, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're either using, like, a specific primer because it's mattifying, or because it's hydrating, or because it has a shine to it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're gonna use a cheaper product, it shouldn't be anything that touches your skin directly. Mm. So skincare primers should be a little bit more pricier. Then you can use a cheaper foundation if you want to, or more affordable eyeshadows, more affordable lip colours, you know? Mm. But I feel like primer is going to give you, and your skincare is going to give you that, the texture of your skin. It's going to give you a flawless base. Yeah. And that's what you want to invest in, you know?
Yeah. Should we talk really quick about a double cleanse? I feel like it's a good way to wrap it up because it's like what you should be doing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like the importance of actually taking off your makeup.
And
taking off the day, and it is the name of our podcast after all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Obviously with pores, we've been talking about keeping them clean, keeping them clear. But also, obviously, clogged pores is what can lead to breakouts, blackheads, whiteheads, all that kind of stuff. So a double cleanse, for me, you don't always have to buy like a cleansing balm and then a cleansing, you know, a water cleanse, because modern day cleansers do have certain ingredients in them that can really actually help take away makeup and sunscreens. Maybe not the most stubborn of waterproof makeup and sunscreens, and then that's where an oil cleanser does come in a lot like handier. But you can literally just wash your face twice with your water cleanser if you're not wearing makeup, basically, like heavy makeup. But obviously the importance of just a double cleanse is taking off all that day stuff, your excess oils, pollution, sunscreen, makeup, allowing your second cleanse to then do a really nice job at doing like a bit of a deeper cleanse.
Exactly.
So removing very, very slightly dead skin cells, again, excess oils that can lead to clogged pores, dead skin again that can lead to clogged pores. And yeah, just sticking with that. If you do, I always think if you give yourself a double cleanse, if you've never done it before, and give yourself a double cleanse every night for about 2 weeks, the difference you see is insane. Like, when I first started double cleansing, the difference I saw in my skin tone and texture was absolutely crazy. So good. So obviously, just do a good double cleanse. Have a good routine that's both in skincare and makeup. And you'll find over time that your skin just generally gets better, and your texture will look better, and the appearance of your pores will diminish. They're always going to be there. Like, there's one pore on my face I can see from here. I'm about half a meter away from my mirror and I can see it. But our skin needs texture. We want it to look real. We want to look.
Exactly.
We don't want to look poreless. Like, that's just gross. Let's be honest. That's
really strange. I couldn't actually imagine that. It's very weird.
You'd be terrifying. You'd be terrifying. But yeah, I think the takeaway from this is just to perfect your routine, make sure you're consistent with your routine, and focus on things that have longevity when it comes to skincare.
Everything has time. Everything needs time. You can't, if it's an instant fix, that's just what it is. It's instant, but it's not permanent.
Yeah.
You know? Perfect. James, just to finish off, I just want to say one thing just to our listeners very quickly. The Double Cleanse are at the Double Cleanse podcast, which is our Instagram. I would just ask very, very quickly not to send your kind of skincare makeup questions there, because how it works is we basically ask a question every week. And then we get so many like messages in, we go through them, and then we have to kind of mass delete them so we can read our replies to the next week's question. So it isn't that we're ignoring you, it just kind of goes unseen. So, you know, don't send those messages to that podcast.
If you do have a question, I just want to say like a little influencer hack, and you want me and Robert to see it. If you have a skincare one, obviously come to my Facebook page, go to an old picture, Instagram profiles, go to an old picture, not a very, very old one, but an old one, and ask your question on there. DMs get crazy and your question can probably get like very, very lost. So it's better to leave a comment on like an old picture if you don't want people to see it, if that makes sense. So you can do that like both for me and Robert on our separate Instagram pages.
That's exactly it.
I mean, we will have a Q&A episode on here if you want us to. Interesting people would find that. I don't know
exactly.
Well,
thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We are now on Spotify, so I don't know how it works with that. So
no idea.
I guess do the same thing on Spotify. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Make a playlist. I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know. Okay. Thank you. Well, I have been Robert Welch from...
Thank you. And I have... And I've been James Welsh from the internet sometimes.
Sometimes.
Only.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Bye.